for some reason, I really like to brag about a job well done. And so I really just appreciate our music this morning. And then I also appreciate Justin, because I think he's one of the best lectors I've really ever heard. And every time I hear him read things, I'm like, oh man, that's good. He's good. And so sometimes when you do the 7:30 a.m. Mass and there's just no music, and it's just not quite the same. So when you have it, I don't know, it lifts you up. And it also allows me to not forget things like the Gloria and stuff, because they help me out there. So today we hear about the pearl of great price. And this kind of led me to do a little bit of research. And so natural pearls are exceedingly rare. In fact, just one natural pearl is often sold to collectors or made into high-end jewelry because they're just so hard to come by. And apparently, very few matched strands of natural pearls even exist out there. And when they do come up for sale, they're just sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so there's a story that in 1917, the jeweler Pierre Cartier purchased the Fifth Avenue mansion that is now the New York Cartier store in exchange for a matched double strand of natural pearls that Cartier had been collecting for years. And at that time, it was valued at $1 million in 1917. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." You know, unless you're Pierre Cartier, of course, then you collect them and you buy a mansion. But, you know, for all the rest of us, Jesus again uses an example from the natural world to show us how valuable the kingdom of heaven is. Back in Jesus's day, and even now, in fact, hundreds of oysters or mussels would have to be gathered and opened up to find even one natural pearl. I read a statistic that said something like, it takes approximately 3 tons of oysters to result in 3 or 4 natural pearls. But there's one other thing. Every one of those oysters or mussels are killed in the process of opening them. An oyster is stripped of its protective shell and sacrificed to find one great pearl. How much greater was the sacrifice of Jesus, who was stripped of his garments and crucified on the cross to allow the kingdom of God to be accessible to all of us? One of my favorite verses in Scripture is from Isaiah 53:5, which says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." By his wounds we are healed. Another interesting thing about a pearl. A pearl is formed when an oyster is wounded. Many people think that a pearl is formed by a grain of sand entering the shell, but this is actually very rare. Normally, the oyster is attacked by a parasite or some other tiny little attacker, and the immune system of the oyster responds and it forms a pearl sac around the wound to protect itself. We only get the preciousness of the pearl from the fruit of its wound. By his wounds, we are healed. By his sacrifice, Jesus gives us access to this pearl, to the kingdom of heaven itself. The last theme from the parables of Jesus that we've been hearing for the last few weeks is about separation. The weeds and the wheat, the separation of the good fish from the bad, the separation of the sinner from the saint. Now, eventually, by the mid-1900s, cultured pearls entered the market. Pearl farmers would insert some sort of irritant into the shell and create a wound that would create a pearl sac to make as many pearl-bearing oysters as they wanted. In many ways, the creation of cultured pearls destroyed the pearl market, mostly by creating confusion. Pearl dealers disputed the authenticity of the cultured pearls, and then many consumers were just simply confused about the huge difference in price between natural pearls and cultured pearls. Now, do you remember the parable last week about the wheat and the weeds in the gospel, where the evil one sows the seeds of weeds into the field of wheat at night? As it turns out, the seeds sown by the evil one were from a variety of weed called the bearded darnel that looks just like wheat in almost every way. it's not until both the bearded darnel and the wheat are fully mature, about to be harvested, where you can distinguish between the wheat and the weeds. So when Jesus gives these examples that he gave to the people of the day, they were truly examples that they understood. They knew that, oh yeah, this is like this wheat and this weed, or the weed is like an imposter. He could tell them that, and they understood his examples. Evil creates confusion. The wheat and the weed, just like the natural and the cultured pearl, are hard to distinguish from one another. And in the case of the pearl, by the 1950s, enough women around the world owned cultured pearl necklaces that natural pearls just became kind of an exclusive niche, only appreciated by a few. But isn't it the same today? The beauty of the faith, the message of the kingdom of God is at hand for all of us, has been reduced to the appreciation of only a few. The natural pearl continues to be just as rare as it always has been. But in a world watered down by cheaper, cultured pearls that are now easy to attain, it's easy to get caught in the confusion and the lie that a pearl of great price does not exist at all. It's so hard to believe in the real thing when we're surrounded by so many imposters. In our first reading today, the Lord appears to King Solomon in a dream and asks him, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." Solomon asks for an understanding heart to judge the people of God and to distinguish right from wrong. This pleased God because Solomon did not ask for a long life for himself or for riches. So God granted Solomon his request. And we're told there's a few strong points in Scripture where you hear things like this. We are told that no one will ever exist as wise as Solomon, just like the greatness of John the Baptist is said to be unmatched. That's an amazing, amazing thing to think about, because we think there's many smart people in the world, but none as wise as Solomon. We are surrounded daily with a world full of riches. Cultured pearls, bearded darnels, and a bad catch of fish mixed with the good. They're all imposters. Although we'll never be as wise as King Solomon, we can strive to judge right from wrong in our lives using the principles passed on to us through the deposit of faith that we learn here in this very church. If we can strive for truth in our lives, perhaps God will grant us a portion of that gift of wisdom that Solomon received. Because after all, wisdom is of God. It's knowledge of God. It's something relating to God is the difference between wisdom and just sheer knowledge. If we can strive for that truth in our life with this wisdom, perhaps we'll recognize the pearl of great price, that the kingdom of heaven is real. In fact, I would argue that if you're in this church right now, you already appreciate the pearl of great price that is the kingdom of heaven. God bless you all today.